Well, isn't that nice? And that could well have been music for the, let's say 16th century. Yeah, I think we're in the 16th century now, and we've got some of Austin Shakespeare's finest actors in our studio, and we're going to be hearing something about Wolf Hall. Now, as I understand, that was on PBS. I never saw it, but it looked fantastic.
Oh, it's so good.
Is it really, really, it's so good?
Yeah.
Well, Helen Mirren, you know, you
Helen Mirren, let's go with that.
Helen Mirren?
No, she's not in it. I just...
Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
oh,
that's what I thought you were saying.
She's
people are always getting us confused.
Yes, yeah. Well, I can see why there's a slight resemblance, except for red hair. But Helen is here, and she's one of Austin's best actresses, and she's also brought Eric Perillo. Eric, you are going to play the part of the guy dressed up as the wolf outfit.
Yes.
he plays the wolf. Yeah.
Wolf in disguise, but not really. Thomas Cromwell.
Ah, yes.
A key player in that time period in those incidents.
So tell us, who was Thomas Cromwell?
Well, he was a rough and tumble boy who grew up with a difficult father, made his way through life, very smart, very aggressive, and dealt with his travels and... made himself successful, and eventually, this is long story short, made himself a part of the court of King Henry because he was so smart and admired for it and knew how to play the game.
And the game was politics under Henry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's making Henry, they get sort of what he wants. I mean, in a way, he's the man behind much of the machinations that go on in the... Mm-hmm. The early half of Henry VIII's reign.
And Helen, what part do you play?
I play Anne Boleyn.
Oh,
second
dear.
Wife, in quotation marks. No, the second wife.
Now, what's the take on Anne Boleyn in this?
You know, it's funny because it's an interesting way of putting it. What's the take? Because the person who wrote Wolf Hall is really careful with detail and tries to be very accurate. And so it's kind of not an Anne Boleyn I've seen before. It has the flavor of her in that she's very shrewd, she's very aggressive, she's extremely ambitious, I think defined by ambition, but ultimately she's kind of like a spoiled 12-year-old a lot of the time. So you know, she also knows the thing they have in common is they've just sort of risen sort of to way above what people would call their station just by will and intelligence.
I see.
And so they kind of use each other. They're on the same team for much of the show, sort of.
So the show concerns the period of time in which Anne Boleyn was coming to be Henry's
wife. I mean, there's a lot more to Wolf Hall. You're only seeing the first sort of segment of like a serialized story.
Right.
This basically goes up through... Can I say this? So I don't want to be a spoiler, but basically a little bit after the birth of Elizabeth I. So it doesn't take us through. I'm queen at the end. I don't get my head chopped.
You're not chopped.
Not yet.
So this is taking place at Wolf Hall.
Well, it's all over the place. Actually, you never see Wolf Hall because Wolf Hall is where the Jane Seymour's family lives.
I see. But it's called Wolf Hall. It's a chronicle of the life of Henry VIII during the time of his reign.
And
after the first wife, after Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine is in the story. It's very much about disconnect. This show is very much about disconnecting from Catherine and trying to get a new heir through Anne Boleyn. But most of the story really revolves around Cromwell. I mean, everybody else is sort of revolving around this man who's controlling a lot more than you'd think.
Now, this is not Oliver Cromwell.
No!
This is
Thomas Cromwell. Different story.
They're not related at all?
No. I can't remember.
Oh, they
Thank
are?
You.
Oh, no, I look like an idiot.
Oliver Cromwell is what? The uncle?
Uncle.
The uncle to this Cromwell.
Is that the other way?
The other way around. This
Thomas
guy
comes
is
first.
The uncle to Oliver Cromwell, who's...
It comes later with Charles.
There are many, many characters to track in the play.
And everybody's named like the same name. There's like 1,000 characters in this, and there's like 4 names. It's like everybody's Thomas or Henry.
Right.
And everybody's Anne, Mary.
Is there Wolsey in this production?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mark Puhey is playing.
Oh, he's going to be so, great.
Yeah, cool. He's great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so are you going to give us a little
a taste?
Something from the play? Give us a setup.
Yeah, this is their first official meeting. She sent for him. And just so you know, there are a couple people who will not speak who she talks to. She's sort of one of her ladies in waiting, you find out, is Jane Seymour, who, if you know the story, later replaces her as queen.
Now, was she another ambitious woman?
No, just the opposite. She's a poor little lamb led to the slaughter. But she sort of hovers in the background as this sort of sweet voice, and she basically gets abused a lot by Anne, and teased and actually literally physically abused.
She doesn't
abused.
Sound like a very nice
she's
person.
She's not nice at all. This is not Anne of the Thousand Days, where it's a little bit more complicated. But and then there's also a musician that she abuses a little bit and has like a little love-hate thing with. So they're in the background in this. And this is our first meeting, kind of showing our cards a little bit to each other.
Cromwell, I wanted to see for myself this paragon who so enchants his majesty. Suddenly everything is about you. The king does not cease to quote his master Cromwell. Cromwell is so right. Cromwell is at all points correct. Also, Maître Cromwell makes us laugh.
I do make him laugh, sometimes.
Can you make me laugh, do you think? I seldom laugh, if I think about it. I should like to try... Come here, milksop. Men frighten her because she does not know what they are. See? This is a man, Jane. Have you seen such a man? Come here, you. Stand side by side. Observe, milksop. This is a boy, we think. One day we must find out. And this is a man. Oh, don't pout, sweetheart. You know how I like to tease. I can never remember his name, but he sings sweetly. He was a gift from the cardinal.
My lady, since the cardinal came down, how much progress has been made in your cause?
None.
Consider how bound to you his grace would be if by your means he was restored to the king's favor.
Oh, but what would be the point of that? He cannot help me. He promised he would free the king from Catherine, but then he did not. He would not. I think he did not want it.
Are you any better off now, Thomas More, as Chancellor?
No. No, truly, I am not. It is terrible. He will not work for the annulment. He refuses, and still Henry appoints him. I cannot explain it. Can you explain it to me, Cromwell?
His Majesty has known More since he was a boy. Perhaps he needs old friends about him. With the Cardinal gone and his wife gone...
Oh, Catherine is not gone. He is with her now. They are praying together about their sin.
It's all they have left in common.
See? You can make me laugh. I don't believe in those kind of prayers. And nor do you. I know everything about you. I have you in my books.
The good ones, I hope, not the bad ones.
You favor the gospel. For you, very dangerous. I favor the gospel. For me, not dangerous. I can protect you.
You just heard from Helen Marino as Anne Boleyn and Eric Perillo. And he plays the part of Thomas Cromwell. Oof. Such a...
It's a page-turner.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
I did say aggressive in describing him, but I would substitute ambitious, because he is actually a very charming and gracious man in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, but and then under that, there can be a lot of ambition.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. A lot of people perform at different... I mean, in terms of their lives, they play the part.
Yeah. You
know, seeming to be a nice guy, but underneath it, they're after your blood.
Yeah.
So the play is being done by Austin Shakespeare.
It's being done as a staged reading.
Mm-hmm. And where will this be?
It will be at the Long Center at the Rollins. It is in full Tudor costume. They are glorious costumes by Jennifer Rose Davis. Like, glorious.
Is she your own costume maker?
She's sort of everybody who really wants very good, detailed period costumes costume maker right now. And we have a live musician on stage who does really pretty delicate guitar music. Mm-hmm. We have some dancing with masks. Okay. and we have projections, and it's going to be a sort of, you know, we want to create the world, even yeah. though you're, you know, it's going to be a stage reading.
Didn't build Cardinal Wolsey's hall.
Oh, good God,
anything.
No.
Right.
No, but really I think the set pieces are the costumes. They're okay. architectural.
Right. So this is going on starting when and going until when?
Thursday through Sunday. And it is an early curtain, so I want to make sure people know that it's a 7:30 curtain on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and there's a 3 p.m. matinee on Sunday. I really would get tickets in advance because it's a very limited run. It's only this weekend.
And this was an incredibly popular PBS show.
Yeah.
And Austin Shakespeare's taking it on. It should be a sellout.
Yeah.
So get your tickets now through Austin Shakespeare. And you've got... From starting this weekend on Thursday through
Sunday.
That's it.
That's what I mean. It's like shake a tail feather if you want to get those tickets.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I would get your ticket 5 minutes ago. Okay. All right. AustinShakespeare.org. Mm-hmm. That'll do it. Okay. So thank you, Helen, so much. I love seeing you.
So funny.
I am so happy to have met you today.
Pleased to meet you, Eric Carillo.
Thank you for coming in, and thank you for bringing a little bit of the Henry VIII's world to life for us here at KUTX 98.9. It's 8:17.